It's I Saw a Magpie.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to a new era of I Saw a Magpie. My name is Stephen Devlin, and I don't even want to discuss how long it took me to redesign all of our logos and cover photos. And like Claire Saffitz, I can accept zero criticism right now, so be kind. And who's joining me today?
Hello, I am Ari. And it looks like I haven't packed to go back home, but I have totally packed to go back home, I promise you.
When is it you're going back home? Hopefully.
Allegedly, I'm going back home June 1st, and so, like, I need to, you know, get all of my shit together. And, like, I wake up every... What's another thing?
You just swore. It's the re-up, baby.
We can swear now.
Yes. I'm just going to make a point of not swearing. That's going to be my new, like, rule to myself.
Wow. Incredible.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. It's like me keeping my virginity.
Thank you for that. Yeah, no, I've packed to go back home, but every morning I wake up and I freak out because there's just, like, shit everywhere in my room. And, like, I just have to remind myself that either it's going into my suitcase when I go back mm-hmm. home, or it's going in the trash because I don't need it anymore. And so, yeah. And then there's just a pile of trash on my floor. So, I mean, I'm living in absolute squalor right now, but I hope everybody else is doing well.
Okay, you want to talk about squalor. Okay. So, when I woke up this morning... Now, bear in mind, I live in a flat, right? So we've got a close, and that, like, we have the front door and the back door often open just to let air come through. It's very nice. Anyway, what it also lets in, apparently, is cats. So when I went downstairs first thing this morning for, you know, a cigarette or whatever, there was just a pile of cat shit at the bottom of the stairs, and I was like...
Oh my gosh, no!
This is not the way to start the day, my friends. It was me, a cigarette, a can of energy juice, and a pile of cat shit. And I was like, happy Friday.
Oh my gosh.
It was horrific. And then, well, because one of the guys downstairs actually has a cat, so I was like, I wonder if it's his cat. So I wasn't going to do anything about it, because one, I don't want to touch shite, and two, definitely not my cat shite. What? If it's not my cat, I'm not touching their shite, is basically what I'm trying to say. And then, like, 4 or 5 hours later, I heard him, like, picking it back up again, and I was like, okay, cool. Apparently, I'm a bit loud in the microphone, so I'm going to try to turn that down a little bit. Is that any better?
Keep going.
How's that?
Yeah.
Is that better? Okay, sorry. Yeah. I mean, I'll try and see what I can do in post to try and fix that, but if you've just had your ears blown off. Sorry. Oh, yeah, that's another thing now. See, because this is, like, recorded, we can edit stuff, we can put in sound effects. I'm not doing any of that, though.
Right? Like, I, like, wouldn't even ask you to. That's, like, too much.
I might try to just get, like, a ba-ba-ba-ba-bow.
We need a soundboard.
We are now shock jocks. Oh, my God, yes. We need a soundboard, and we need, like, this is KT81 100 in the morning.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Oh. I know, it'd be well fun. So if we're not doing that, what are we doing?
Today?
Like, well, just in general, what is this show and what are we planning on doing with it?
Well, I think we're sticking pretty true to who we were before, just, like, having discussions and stuff like that.
We're remaining us, guys. You don't have to worry about us changing.
This is the only Remain campaign that we would like.
Oh my god.
We're in every other sense, we're Brexiteers.
You know what? Fuck that. See, now that we're not on ASR, we can be as political as we fucking want. Fuck the Tories. Fuck Boris.
Yeah.
Fuck
all you voters. It's like Stormzy said.
Our time now.
It's like Stormzy said. Fuck Stormzy, the government 100% and fuck Boris.
Absolutely. But Stormzy also said that 100% of British people are racist.
And you know what? He's right.
Not wrong. Exactly. Oh, I love that. Anyway, so I think basically, like, we're just going to be doing what we usually do, which is taking an irreverent look at pop culture and stuff that's happening, looking at the discourse, contributing. Not that I would say I have much to contribute. Don't know about yourself, but we're going to do it anyway.
Well, I mean, this is basically what everybody else does. We're just doing it now. So congratulations to us, and congratulations to you for listening.
Yes, well done, our listeners. We will be updating our Facebook and Twitter tonight with some lovely new branding and stuff like that. But if you want to get in contact with us, we no longer have the live voice chat option because, like I said, this is pre-recorded.
I know.
But if you send us a message on Facebook or Twitter,
we'll
can read it out next episode. If it's good, if it's shite, we'll ignore it. So.
And there's a very low like threshold for what shite is. Or is it very high? Very high? You know, just send us anything and we'll probably read it. There's like a 99.5% chance that we'll read it out. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I love how we've both graduated and instantly our brains have turned into fucking mush.
Right, yeah. Immediately, right after I turned in my last assignment, I was like, okay, let's just turn this off now. And I, like, reached in the back of my neck and, like, flipped the switch.
Mm-hmm. And she said, I'm out. Bye.
I am out. Ugh, deuces.
Oh my god. But, yeah. No, I instantly am like, see, if anyone's to ask me about what I did the last year, I'll be like, I have no idea. I blacked out for about 22 weeks.
Yes. Yes. Like, I actually like did. Mentally.
Do you know that way, like, this is going to sound horrible, and I do not mean to demean the experiences of pregnant women, or pregnant people, sorry. But do you know how when pregnant people give birth, mm-hmm. it's, like, absolutely horrific, but then the body releases a bunch of endorphins and hormones and all sorts of shit, so that the person forgets they've given birth, or forgets how horrific that experience was?
Is that what happened?
In order that they'll do it again? Yeah. Do you not understand?
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. So it's properly horrific, right? But the body makes you forget that it ever happened to you so that you'll do it again. I'm like, is that what happened in fourth year? Because I don't remember any of it. Plus, I have a baby now. It's my dissertation.
Oh.
It took so long.
You know what? I'm giving her up for adoption.
I have to, unfortunately.
Yeah, hate her. Not what I was really hoping to create, you know. So, bye.
Okay, let's examine our dissertations for a second. You looked at Beyonce.
Yeah.
And I looked at yeast. So, let's get... Speaking of Beyonce...
Lana Del Rey
are we
hates her.
Talk about it?
Lana Del Rey. Absolutely. She said, I'm a fan, but I hate that bitch.
She said, I'm not a feminist. Which, I'm not a Lana Del Rey fan, which means I'm not a Lana Del Rey fan.
Right.
It just means I've listened to her. So, like, let's put this into context. If I say I'm not a Lana Del Rey fan, it doesn't mean I'm a fan. It means I've heard her music.
Exactly.
So that means Lana Del Rey is not a feminist, but has, like, heard of it.
Yeah, I've heard of her.
I've heard of her. I've Which heard is of like, feminism.
You know what? Like, you know, that's fine. Like, say whatever you want to say. Do whatever you want to do. But why do you have to do it so loudly?
I mean, within reason.
Why do you have to be so loud about it? Why do you...
Absolutely.
What was the reason, as Cardi B would say? I would like to posit, as Cardi B, what is the reason?
What is the reason?
Like, this woman just got on Twitter. I was saying before we started recording, like, she's just, like, not one for criticism. And anybody that... I don't know who criticized her. To the point where she felt mm-hmm. like she needed to like get online and like be like, oh, like let me list all of these like prominent black women and Camila Cabello
and Ariana Grande.
Yeah, I said black women and Camila Cabello. Oh,
sorry, and you're correct.
And you know, just do this. And then she was like, it's not about race, but Lana, sweetie, it is, you know, like. She was like, and I mentioned all these women because I love them. Oh, you know what I do when I love somebody? I don't talk about them. I just keep their names out of my mouth unless I'm talking to them and I'm telling them that I love them.
Exactly. Let them live. The thing that's most stressful about this whole thing is I want to know how she got a different font in the Notes app.
Right, because I was looking at it, and, like, it was all a different font, and then she used the cloud striking lightning emoji, and I was like, what the fuck? That is... If there's one thing I respect her for, it's that.
The font choice?
The impeccable. Font choice. Like, the font choice.
But then, like, she doubled down on her remarks and was like, there's not a place in feminism for weak women like me. And it was like... No, she didn't even say weak women like me. She says, I'm not a strong woman like these other women. Which, like... Okay, you're giving these women that you've listed, by the way, majority of them black, plus Camila Cabello, and you're basically being like, these women are such strong women, and like, it's that whole thing of like continually just putting black women into this box of strong black women.
Exactly. You and know, like, Beyonce and made a whole album about how she wasn't strong, and how, like, she made a whole visual album about like how she wasn't strong, went through this process, and yeah, it just makes no sense to me. So Lana, whatever.
Well, until further notice, Lana is cancelled. She can go back to, I believe someone tweeted earlier on saying, I wish Lana had just spent her time eating cigarettes rather than...
She should have just sat and ate her cigarettes.
Yes. Absolutely. She would have loved it at Mary-Kate's wedding. Mary-Kate's wedding? One with the cigarettes?
I think that is Mary-Kate, yeah.
One of them had cigarettes. She would have loved it.
Well, I mean, she's getting a divorce now, but it's fine. We love her.
She is.
But yeah, you know, I don't even want to cancel her. It's like, it's, you know, it's just like, okay, like, I don't think this is really a cancelable offense. Yeah, and I'm over the whole cancel thing, not in the way that everybody else is. Not in the way that everybody else is, where it's just like, we don't have to do this. It's just kind of like, okay, if I don't give a shit about you, I don't give a shit about you. I didn't really give a shit about her before. This was just funny for a minute, and now it's like, okay, it's over now.
I listened to, like, one of her, like, there was one song that I actually really liked, and I can't remember what it was, and then I went to try and find it, and, like, all of her songs, like, do you know that way where you don't know the name of a song, so you go for, like, an artist's, like,
whole discography, yeah,
whatever, and you're just, like, clicking on songs that you think might be it, and oh, yeah, like, okay, that's not the one. All of her songs sound the same, so
that's the worst game to play.
I was like, this is searching for a needle in a haystack of fucking needles.
Yeah.
That all have depression. I was like, I can't deal with this.
It's the worst thing to do when you're high. But, like, I remember, okay, so there was one Lana Del Rey song. Because, like, I remember Lana Del Rey coming out in, like, you know, I was, like, high school. It was, like, high school time for me. And I was just like, okay, like.
High school.
I was just like, okay, like. I get it, but it's just, like, not for me. And not for one second was I like, you know, this is setting feminism back 50 years because she's talking about drugs and, like, her abusive relationships. Like, I was just like, okay, that's what you experience. Like, that's what you see. And, like, you know, the people, I was saying this to a friend earlier, the people that are criticizing her are the same people that are criticizing Nicki Minaj and Beyonce and Cardi B and Doja Cat. Mm-hmm. Except those women are getting it 10 times worse because they are women of color. Like, what's not clicking? What's not clicking, Lana?
I really don't know. And also, her last single was with Miley Cyrus and Ariana Grande. She should be having a fun time of it right now, not reading, like, I don't know.
I don't know what negative review. Like, I don't know if she went on Reddit and saw some, like, you know, idiot talking shit about her. Like, what set her off?
I have no clue. But the thing is, right, is the gays love her. If you want to maintain a career, all you need is the gays.
Yeah.
All you need is the gays. We will take care of the rest of it for you. You really release the shittiest album ever. We will still stand that shit.
Wait, I just burped pathetic into the microphone. Can you cut that out in post?
Nope.
Wow. Traitor.
I can see the like we've got a little recording and I can see the little spike.
Yeah.
See what I can do. Although now I've got to leave it in because otherwise all of this has to get cut otherwise.
Oh, that's fine. I don't care.
I don't have time for this. Anyway. Right, so we've talked about Lana Del Rey and her mess and what she's up to right now, when what she should be doing is eating cigarettes and leaving people alone. just having her Pepsi Cola pussy, like, just doing whatever the fuck she wants to do with it, because that is what feminism is about.
Exactly. Like, nobody cares. It's totally okay. You know what? I'm not going to say I don't care. The world's on fire. I'm not going to say I don't care. I'm going to say this was entertaining, and now it's over.
Mm-hmm. It was entertaining, like, because essentially it's just basically someone's throwing their toys at the pram. Because someone had a different opinion to them, like, Jesus. But also, like, so unexpected. That's the bit that got me. Like, see, when I read it, I was like, where the fuck did this come from? Anyway, what are we actually discussing today?
Well, we're gonna stay in the vein of music, so that ought to be fun. Today we are talking about this little conversation that came up on Twitter. I don't know how it ended up on my feed, but, it was basically about who was an industry plant in the alternative / indie music scene. And, you know, I don't know if you saw the discourse basically that was happening there, but it was like, you know, Clairo's an industry plant. Mitski's dad works for the CIA. Arca, like, works with Dr. Luke. Like, all of this just, like, weird, random, like, shit that just came out. And I was just like, damn,
Dr.
whoa.
Luke has changed his name now.
To what?
Dr. Luke goes by a different name. It is, like, Trey Tracks or something. Because that's what he's officially credited as. Oh, by the way, last week on the shitty PowerPoint presentation, I told you all to go and stan Say So, the Nicki Minaj remix with
Doja Cat.
Turns out that song is produced by Dr. Luke under the name of Trey Tracks or whatever.
Oh, fuck. Damn.
And also, Nicki Minaj ended up getting discredited from it, so now she doesn't have her first hop. 100.
Wait, how?
Whatever. Oh, she basically, like, because her fans went out and, like, bought all the... I don't know what it was about. Like, I couldn't find anything more to the story other than just people saying she's been discredited. There was no reason given for it.
Oh my gosh.
I think it's due to the fact that, like, it was a remix or something. I genuinely don't understand. And then people were like, but you've done it before with other remixes, and both of them have got the credit for the number one, and then... It's a whole mess. And then I was like, this whole thing is making me very uncomfortable. So we no longer stan Say So. What we do stan, though, is, have you listened to Rain On Me?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay, Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande said, fuck it. We are out here trying to save 2020. It is genuinely one of the best songs I've listened to in a very long time.
Ariana Grande is working hard for that check in quarantine. She came out with something with Justin Bieber.
She really is.
And then Tekashi 6ix9ine was like, he like blatantly lied and then like had to admit that he lied because people had receipts. And now she's out here with Lady Gaga. So, you know, more power to the white women of color. What?
To the white women of color. That color being wood stain. Takashi,
it doesn't even
6ix9ine.
Matter.
Mm-hmm. He's a pedophile and not a black person who says the N-word. Why is he still making music?
It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, I think it's all of the people that love Bad Baby and whoever else runs in that group that just, like, do not care.
God.
Yeah, I think it's just, like, all of the locals have, like, banded together to, like, unite and stand up for what they believe is right.
Everyone gets to say the N-word. It's time. No.
The locals were like, we have rights. And, you know, now here we are. So, that's fine.
Here we are. But I heard that Tekashi 6ix9ine only got released because there was, like, COVID-19 spreading in the jail he was in.
Yeah, basically.
So they were like, oh my god.
Basically,
2020
yeah.
2020 is fucking wild.
Yeah, they were like, we're gonna release him and he's gonna be on his best behavior. And now, he's on his worst behavior. Just like we all knew he would be. And you know, that's okay. That is fine. As long as he keeps a healthy distance away from me. On the internet and in real life.
And everyone else.
Right.
Especially children. Right, that's enough of that. Okay, so DIY musicians is what we're talking about. Like,
yeah.
The indie alt scene. Apparently there's these industry plants, like, you say, like, Mitski and
Yeah, I don't know why I asked you earlier if you had seen any of this discourse, because, like, I know for a fact that you haven't, and so I'm going to explain everything that's going on. I'm going to mansplain this to you. You ready?
Oh, I'm so excited. I did have a quick look, so just a little bit behind the scenes details. We do have, like, a little Google Doc that kind of has, like, an outline of just things and points for us to cover and whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, literally I've gone through all the names. Just, like, from top to bottom, I've gone through all the names of the people. I can probably mention one Depeche Mode song.
Mm-hmm. Like, off Sinead the top O'Connor, of your head that you know. Picture.
Yeah, Sound of Silence.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, enjoy the silence. Enjoy the silence, sorry. And then Sinead O'Connor ripped up a photo of the Pope and sang about, it's been 7 hours and 15 days. That's it. I'm out. Oh, Charlie XCX. I went to see her in concert with a guy I was dating called Alex, who was the third guy called Alex I dated in a row, because she was performing at Glasgow University Union, and this was in 2012 or 2013 or something. And we went on a date to go see Charlie XCX at the Glasgow University Union. And he never spoke to me again.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. So shout out Alex if you're out here.
Shout out Charlie.
Charlie as well, shout out to you. I still every now and again look at that gif of Charlie like dancing and her breasts are just going here. Oh, in fact, you know what, we're not saying breasts anymore, we're no longer on ASR, we're saying tits.
Yes, tits. Yes, titties.
Yes, tits. And her titties are like going wild.
Do you say titties with amusing. Do you say titties with two D's or two T's?
I would never say titties, and I only ever say titties if I'm saying big old, like, tig old biddies or big old titties, like, as a meme. Could you imagine me saying the word titties? No.
Don't do it again.
You've got a lovely pair of titties.
We're trying to get people to listen to the show and in its entirety.
This is just content, right? Let me explore my heterosexuality, how dare you? Right.
But yeah.
So let's start from the beginning. I'll stop trying to derail this conversation. You're going to tell me all about the alt indie scene. And as the typical white man I am, I'm going to give my thoughts and opinions along the way.
Yes, please. So.
Okay.
Basically, the indie scene started in like the late 70s with like Joy Division and like Depeche Mode and like the Smiths. And that went into the early 80s. It started to like skyrocket and whatever. It went kind of like mainstream with The Cure, and then that brought them into like the 90s, which was like the golden age. Like, okay, I'm sure you've heard this conversation before where people are like, oh, Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins, like, oh, Radiohead. Yeah. Like, people are just like, you know, everybody just
that
wants
was
to
real
snort.
Music.
Yeah, everybody just wants to snort cocaine off of Kurt Cobain's dick. So that was going on.
That's an image.
But there were also like a lot of women coming up in the industry at this time, like Alanis Morissette and like Liz Phair. There was Four Non Blondes and Mazzy Star, like you were saying, Sinead O'Connor, No Doubt, one of my personal favorites. Oh my gosh. I remember being 14 and like that was when I had my first phone. And basically the first album that I ever bought myself was actually downloaded onto my phone. It was No Doubt's Tragic Kingdom, because I love that album so much. I love every song on the album. There was also Sleater-Kinney at the time and Fiona Apple. And
just quickly, do you want to hear about my first album?
Yes.
My first album, okay, it depends on... Okay, the first album that someone purchased for me was my mother, who at 7 years old or 6 years old or something bought me the Spice Girls album, Spice.
Oh my gosh. Okay, keep going.
And then the first one I bought with my own money. So that's the first one that someone else bought and gave to me. And the first one I bought with my own money was a Finnish, like, gothic metal band's album. It was called Once by a band called Nightwish, who I'm going to go see in December if the world hasn't fucking blown up by then. And I really think that shows some character development from Spice Girls to Finnish opera metal.
So, in that realm of just, like, manufactured pop music, the first album that was bought for me was by my Nana when I was 5. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think, the Backstreet Boys album that came out in 2000. I think that's what it was.
Oh,
I was
back all right.
Dead. I was dead on arrival. And you know what I actually remember? I remember being in my aunt's car all the time, and she had, like, a lot of the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC discography. And this is, like, a, like, 40-year-old woman that I'm just like, you know, I highly respect this, but also, what is it?
What is happening here?
Yeah.
I think my mum bought me a Backstreet's, the best of Backstreet's album, Backstreet Boys album as well. And I was like, wow, you really did want to raise a homosexual. What is happening here?
Why are you surprised?
I know, that was the thing. Came out as gay, and I was like, that what? And I'm like, okay. This is mostly on you.
But yeah, so, like, this was going on, you know, men, women, the golden age, whatever. We get into the 2000s, mm-hmm. and, like, it starts to change over into, like, kind of electro music a little bit. But people mm-hmm. are mostly sticking to those indie roots, those, like, rock roots, because this is all pretty much rooted in just, like, classic rock music or, like, distorting classic rock music to fit, you know? Mm-hmm. And the lyrics in these songs, like, I think everybody has been through their emo phase already. I mean, like, I know I have.
Still living in it.
But yeah, like, I remember listening to Radiohead when I was in high school, and No Doubt, and, like, Modest Mouse, and just being like, oh, feeling, you know? And, like, I connected with that stuff the way that I didn't connect with anything that was on the radio, you know? Like, the pop music, like, I just, like, did not connect to Katy Perry's Roar at the time. I was just like, okay, great. This is fine.
How young are you that you're in high school when Roar's on? Am I just really old?
I was 16. I was, like, 15 or 16 when Roar by Katy Perry came out.
Okay. I'm not going to take that any further. I'm old as shit.
Well, do you want to hear a funny story? Okay, so...
Nope.
So basically, every year in high school, each class had a graduation song. And I was in student body government, and I was, like, watching the class for that year pick out their song. And somebody suggested Roar by Katy Perry. And our supervisor was like, no, are you kidding me? No. And everybody's like, why? Like, it's inspirational. Like, you know, it's catchy. It, like, it's a bop. Yeah. And she was like, are you kidding me? The song is about rape. And we were like, what? And she was like, you held me down, but I got up. What does that sound like to you? And we were like, it's a metaphor. We literally dug deep into our, the fault in our stars, and we went, it's a metaphor. And she was like, it is not. So yeah,
Katy Perry is in the jungle dressed up having a fantasy experience, but she's talking about some real shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that was Jesus. That was basically it. So yeah, I just like didn't relate to a lot of that stuff at the time, because I was just like, you know, you're just like a fucking moody teen, like, it's just teen angst, you know? And so, like, mm-hmm. I think that's what indie music was, like, really about, was, like, mm-hmm. it was kind of, like, poetry and, like, expression with, like, you know, a guitar or, like, bass put to it. And, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, it's not anti-pop, but it's just, like, way more niche. And, like, when you hear, like, Fiona Apple say things like, my scars were reflecting in the mist in your headlights. It's just kind of like, you are not going to hear that on the radio. You know what I mean?
No.
Or, like, you hear Sinead O'Connor singing about, like, her unborn child and, like, her love for her new child. Like, that's probably, like, too dicey for the radio. If you hear Tom York going, on a track, like, that's, like, not for the mainstream. Like, that's just, like, not for the radio. But, sorry. Like, you know, certain
Two
people.
2 seconds. Can we have you, can we have Tom York back in the building just one last time?
That's what he does.
Beautiful.
That's what he does. I know. There's like 3 out of 10 albums that sound like that, and you know, that's fine. That's what I like.
Not 3 out of 10 albums.
That's fine. That's what I like. Like, that's what I want to hear. But like, I can understand how everybody's not going to appeal to that. And so, you know, I think it's just like the indie community in terms of like consumerism was just kind of like, okay. Like, this is our thing. Like, it's a very personal thing, and we can connect, like, the listeners can connect with the artists because of what they're saying, mm-hmm. and the experiences that these artists are talking about can be related to by the listeners. It was almost like there was something like deeper in like alt and indie music than there was in pop music, like in a certain way. Like, for example, like Fiona Apple's like VMA speech in 97, like that was like one of the most iconic speeches, because basically she got up on stage after winning, I think it was like album of the year or something. She was just like, the world's bullshit and you should model your life and what you think, like what you think we think is cool, like do what you want to do. Basically she was just like, go with yourself, like, you know, to quote her, go with yourself, like don't you don't have to wear what we wear, you don't have to say what we're say what we're saying and do what we're doing. Whereas I think, you know, who else was around at the time? Britney Spears would get around on stage and be like, thank you so much. You love me, and I love you too. My fans, you know?
It's just yeah, like, I was about to say, because this is about the time Britney
like,
came out.
Which is fine. Like, which is fine. Like, you can do that.
Has
like,
Fiona Apple built, burnt down her gym? We might have to cut
with
that.
With a like, Yankee candle.
Over each other, but my joke... With a Yankee candle, did Britney... Has Fiona burnt down her gym? That's what we need to know. Who puts a candle in the fucking gym?
That's my thing. She's like, it smells sweaty in here. It's like, yeah, no shit. It's your gym, it's Britney. Gym. God.
That's like her third property that she's burnt down, by the way.
Really?
She has a history of doing it. I can't remember if she burnt her apartment in New York or something.
Wow.
Her gym and then something else.
Maybe she should have been cast in Little Fires Everywhere.
Oh my god.
I just started watching.
Do we have to finally have a question? Do we have an answer to the question about who started the fire?
Right, Billy Joel, get on it. Like, did you solve it?
Billy Joel, get her told.
Did you solve it?
Right. So we've solved who started the fire. We know, we knew it was Britney.
We knew
it was Britney.
But yeah, like, basically, I think the question that we're asking here, or that, like, we're trying to figure out is, like, how do you get successful in the indie scene? Because, like, a lot of these bands that are in the indie scene were basically just, like, priding themselves on being independent. Like, it became known as indie music because, like, a lot of these people were, like, releasing music on their own, like, under their own labels, you know? It was, like, very much, like, the epitome of just, like, do it yourself. And, like, a lot of these bands prided themselves on, like, playing small shows, like, doing small venues, like, you know? But I think even bigger than that, I think the biggest part of that was, like, the lyrics more than anything. So even if you weren't playing small shows, I think if your audience is still very niche, like, you can be indie, if that makes sense. So you can, I feel like you could sign to a big label, but, you know, maybe your records are only selling to a certain demographic of people. So, yeah. Or, you know, some of these people were in bands before and then started indie bands. That's a conversation for later. But, or you have, like, connections to, like, further your career, which is, like, you know, it's just how the music industry works, as we've all been told, because, you know, I can't sing for shit or play instruments, so... I wouldn't know, but, you know, as everybody says, that's showbiz, baby.
That is showbiz, and I was about to say, you've heard our introduction, so you know how good my ukulele playing skills are.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, like, basically carrying into now, like, just skipping over the whole early 2000s, like...
I mean, I think that's just a good advice for, like,
skip over the early 2000s.
Get it over and done with. Nothing good happened.
Because, you know, if you were a real indie fan, then you would know who was playing in the early 2000s. So why are you even listening to this if you're not? But basically...
Fake fans.
So Mitski, Arca, Sophie, one of my faves, Charlie XCX, I loved her Vroom Vroom album. Clairo, Grimes, King Princess, arguably the 1975, like, these are all people that are in the, like, alt indie music scene now. And a lot of them are doing...
Just a quick thing.
Yeah.
I just want to say that Vroom Vroom is a bop.
Vroom Vroom is a fucking bop.
It's so fucking good. And it makes me just want to pop my pussy.
That's exactly what I was doing about, I want to say, 3 hours ago. Like, I don't know what... Oh, I was listening to Claro. I was listening to Claro for research. And then it was, like, suggested artist, Charlie XCX. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? Not turn on Vroom Vroom? So, yeah.
Not pop my pussy?
Right, like...
In this economy? How dare you?
Lavender Lamborghini. Roll up in a blue bikini.
Yep. I did not know the lyrics. I just know the
vroom,
feeling
vroom.
That takes over my body. And it makes me just want to...
Vroom, vroom.
Fucking vroom, vroom. Shovel dicks into me. That's what it makes me want to do. Which is my post-quarantine plan, lads. If you're out there, hit me up.
Well, have you heard the rest of the EP, or did you just hear that one song?
I do this thing with Charlie XCX in that I used to really like Charlie XCX, but as discussed, I have a sort of weird history with her.
Oh, yeah. So you're just like, okay, so, I'm going to limit myself. I got it.
I just put it like sort of like on Spotify. The songs I like, whatever, I'll listen to them, and then it just comes up with the radio. So yeah. I've probably listened to songs by Arca Mitski. So like, I love Sophie. And I've probably listened to songs by these people all the time. I just, because Spotify has the radio feature that once you press play on one song that you specifically like search for, it just brings up related songs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I like sort of discover. This is the thing, I'm not a fan of these people.
Right.
Thank you. As in, like, I'll like one or two of their songs, and I'll go in and I'll click on that particular song to listen to, and then Spotify will bring them up, and I'll recognize the names, and I'll be like, okay, cool. But I'm not in love with the song that much to add it into my liked playlist or whatever, so that it comes up as something that I can go back to again and again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my experience with this scene, as in the only one out of that list of like Mitski, Arca, Sophie, Charlie XCX, Claro, Grimes, King Princess in 1975. I've listened to probably the most Sophie.
Yeah.
Because
love that bitch.
Oh, in fucking incredible. It's Okay to Cry.
I was just about to say, It's Okay to Cry is such a fucking jam. Face Shopping, such a jam. Oh my gosh. I remember the first time I watched the It's Okay to Cry music video, I was high as balls. And it was incredible. Like, it's just an incredible experience. Like, everything is just like popping out at you, and like she's trying to make you vulnerable, and it's working, and like you are like, damn, like,
so good.
It is okay to cry, and I'm gonna do it.
She got me with that one, not gonna lie. That's when I was actually when that song came out, that was when I was doing Erasmus over in France, and I fucking hated my life. So that's what happened there. Oh, my Amazon Prime invoice, apparently. My Amazon Prime is up. Okay, cool. It's definitely a scam.
But yeah, like, these are all of the prominent artists now. And, like, I think a lot of them, especially, I think Mitski, I'll say, Claro, Grimes a little bit, like, and Charlie XCX, too, put out something called Bedroom Pop, which is just, like, this, like, I was listening to Time Crisis, and they were, like, explaining it, but they didn't know that it was called Bedroom Pop, and I was just, like, screaming, like, it's Bedroom Pop!
Hi, guys. Welcome back. Few technical issues. We're having some teething problems, but we're back, and I believe, Ari, you were telling us what Bedroom Pop is.
Yeah, like, so basically, it's, like, this, like, soft, like, just soft voices, like, guitar, a little bit of bass, like, a little bit of, like, electro sound. Like, it's just very, like, I don't know how to explain it, wavy, almost, is what I would call Bedroom Pop.
Do you know what's really fun? I totally get what you mean by that.
Yeah, it's vibey, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I 100% get what you mean by that. Which is such a weird, like, what is 2020 doing to our vocabulary? It feels wavy and vibey.
Yeah.
I totally understand it.
Well, I mean, these people do record the music a lot of the times because, again, it is very, like, DIY. But yeah, like, a lot of these people are recording at home or, like, in their bedrooms or, like, whatever. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But, this whole, like, bedroom pop DIY, like, especially, like, the DIY part has, like, been an area of contention over the last couple of years because, like, as I mentioned mm-hmm. before, like, people have, like, started to call these people, you know, traitors and, like, industry plants and things like that, like, looking at these new artists and, like, trying to figure out if they are actually genuine or if they're just, like, trying to sell us something. And I think it pretty much mm-hmm. kicked off with Claro, mm-hmm. like, a couple years back, because she was, like, giving interviews and saying, like, oh, like, I'm doing, like, DIY. I'm just, like, in my room, you know, like, making music and things like that. And she kind of, like, quickly got, like, a record deal and was playing, like, bigger shows and all of that. And people were like, okay, well, where did this come from? Like, who are you? Like, mm-hmm. where did you come from? You know? And it turned out that her dad was, like, the executive, I don't know, assistant or something for, or the executive creative director of Converse or whatever. And so, like, which explained why she was, like, playing bigger shows. And she, it was just, like, weird, you know? It was almost, like, yeah. weird in a way, like, oh, so, like, you're not doing it on your own. Like, you had help. So, like, yeah, it was, like, a curtain was someone being yanked.
Someone doesn't recognize that privilege.
Yeah, and so she was like, oh, like, for you to say that is sexist. And it's, like, but it's the truth? It's,
yeah, also, it's, how is saying, oh, but your parents helped you? How, where is sexism? I understand that as a young queer female artist, like, it's probably, not probably, it definitely is, it's 100% harder for a young female queer artist to break through on their own versus a conventionally attractive white boy who's mediocrely talented, right?
Exactly.
I totally get that. But the accusation being leveled against you is not set, not leveled against you. That sounds fucking well serious. The accusation. but the criticism is, like, okay, you're selling this image of DIY pop, bedroom pop, whatever you want to call it. You're selling this image, which people are buying into, which is disingenuous to what actually happened.
And especially in a genre. I think especially in a genre where, like, I think there's just, like, a level of respect that comes with, you know, being a DIY musician that has made it to the top by being yourself, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah. I mean, like, when people are calling these people, because I mean, people are calling Lizzo, and I think, like, 21 Pilots and all, like, I think even Chance the Rapper, industry plants, and it's just basically like, it's hard to decide, like, who's an industry plant and who's not a lot of the time, because, like, some of these people just, like, have rabid fans without having record deals, you know? Like, some people have been, like, Tumblr famous or, like, YouTube famous or whatever. And other people kind of, like, you know, have just had a lot of help. And, yeah, like, somebody explained that, like, an industry plant kind of has, like, no clear, like, origin story, which I think is very true. Because if you look at, who are we going to say?
Who are we putting on blast?
Yeah, let right, who are we putting on blast?
Because I have no, the only thing I know is that Charli XCX got a loan off her parents.
Yeah, but I think,
when she was 14.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Like, I was like, reading about that. I think that's fine. Like, I think that you can definitely, like, I don't think she was trying to hide that or that she didn't admit to that. But,
no.
Yeah.
I just think it's hilarious as she went to her parents at 14 and was like,
can I have a small loan of $1 million?
$1 million to start a record, like, to record a record. I'm like, oh my God. And then apparently, like, according to the Wikipedia that I read earlier, because I was trying to do a little bit of preparation whilst sorting out everything else, apparently her parents used to come to the, like, so she would get paid to go and, like, perform at raves and shit. And apparently her parents would come along with her to these illegal raves in North London. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening here? Like, of all the people I would want to come with me to a rave, no offense, Mum, but it's not you.
I'm sorry. I would absolutely want my mother to come to a rave with me. She would have been cool about it.
Oh, no. My mum would be the worst at a rave. She'd be like, oh, is there any seats? My feet are killing.
My aunt actually took me to a free BTS concert one time. And she just, like, stood in the background while I, like, literally peed my pants watching Jimin, like, flash his abs to the stage.
okay, how the hell are you going to go to a free BTS concert, whereas I had to spend a shit ton of money to go down to London to see it because my best pal wanted to go see them? And I'll admit, she got the tickets, but I still had to pay for travel and accommodation and everything else. And to be fair, I am doing the same to her because I bought her tickets to come see Nightwish, that Finnish opera metal band. So I'm dragging her to that. She dragged me to BTS K-pop, and I'm dragging her to Finnish metal opera. I don't know which is worse.
Well, I mean, I just live in LA, so that's, yeah.
No, I live in LA.
That's the only explanation I can give you.
The most LA thing you've ever said. You're like, 4 years done. I can stop pretending to be one of the people. I'm from LA.
Right, like, I am a sleeper cell.
I'm a coastal elite.
I'm a fucking coastal elite. I'm moving from the northeast of Scotland to the southwest of America.
Proud of you. You're really making money moves.
Right.
But
yeah, I can't even think of a person that has, like, no clear origin story. Like, yeah, I think these people...
Poppy.
Who? Poppy? Oh my gosh, you know what was so funny? I was, like, looking at something for Grimes earlier today, and it mentioned Poppy, and I'm like, who the fuck is this? I don't even know who that is.
You don't know who Poppy
is? No.
It's fucking madness. Like, basically, there's all these conspiracies that... So she definitely is an industry plant. Like, that's very well known that she's an industry plant. Like, so... She started posting YouTube videos which are very weird and mysterious and odd and garnered a popular following on YouTube because she had, like, a cult following kind of thing. And then it turns out that all these really... So she's basically a musician whose character is, like, a robot or an alien who's first coming into contact with, like, human life kind of thing. And so she's explaining these things she does.
Okay.
And it's all very weird and very art house, but it turns out... that the creative director behind the Poppy character had a previous female artist who looks a lot like Poppy, who he worked with her, and they were in a relationship, and then they were doing the same shit that he was then doing with Poppy. They were doing it prior to the internet being what it is today, so it never really took off as much as what the Poppy thing has taken. It's a fucking rabbit hole.
That's fucking scandalous.
You really want to go down? Like... Oh. Ridiculous.
This is like the Sugar Babes, how each one of them just got replaced out one by one until the Sugar Babes was not the Sugar Babes. This is a story that you told me.
Yes, which is a philosophical point.
It's like, who are the Sugar Babes?
What is the identity of the Sugar Babes if none of the Sugar Babes are original Sugar Babes? Like, which, by the way, I think we said this on the radio show as well. It was like, Sugar Babes, Spice Girls. Didn't make that connection until far too late in my life.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they're definitely, the Sugar Babes are definitely industry plants.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. Like, pop music, like, I don't think you can say that anybody in pop music is an industry plant because, like, I think pop music is very much like, it's all supposed to be this way. Like, it's all supposed to be so manufactured. It's all supposed to be so clean cut and just like the way it is, which is why, like, you know, when Britney Spears had her freak out in 07, like, that was a big deal. You know what I mean? Like, and it was a huge, like, astronomical deal. Whereas somebody like Fiona Apple, who, like, she's an example of a person whose, like, whole family has been in the industry. But she's, like, worked to prove herself. You know what I mean? Like, whereas somebody like her, like, you don't hear that story as much as you hear a story about Britney Spears. Like, you don't hear as much about Fiona Apple having fits and, like, you know, lashing out. Like, it's in the press, like, it's there, and, like, a lot of people are talking about it, but, like, not, it wasn't the world-stopping news that Britney Spears was, you know what I mean? And so, yeah. Like...
And I think that has to do with image as well.
Like, yeah, Britney exactly.
Was portrayed as the virgin, the virgin gone bad, and, like, all this sort of stuff. But in defense of her shaving her head in 2007, that was all to do with drug testing.
Oh.
So she was going to get drug tested for her kids, for custody of her kids, and she was like, fuck this, if I don't have hair, you can't test me. And unfortunately, the whole situation got blown up.
Yeah.
And backfired somewhat. But that's what that was about, just in case people don't know.
Well, see, even, like, even the way that it's portrayed, because, like, I didn't know that, I'm not going to pretend, But like even the way that it's portrayed, it's just like, oh, this person has gone bad, where it's just like all of like indie music is just people being emo or being portrayed to be like super emotional or sad or, you know, extra feeling. And so it's just kind of like, okay, like this is just who you are. But yeah, so like all of these people are being called industry plants, like people are exposing Mitski for her dad being in the CIA, like whatever that means. like Mitski's going out and committing war crimes.
I see, you told me this, right? And then we were talking about like the Charlie XCX loan thing from the parents, and then people having parents who are like at Converse or executives, right? How the fuck is your dad being in the CIA going to get you a record deal? That's what I want to know.
I don't know if he's like hacking into the system or what, but you know.
I have no idea.
I mean, people were finding out like King Princess is like the heiress to Macy's, and everybody just like lost their fucking minds though. And so like, I think people were like upset because it's kind of like, okay, like you are not the independent artist that is like just getting by on your feeling that we thought you were, you know what I mean? And so it's kind of like, it's almost like treacherous in a way because it's like, silence.
See, well, no, because I was just thinking that because I'm like, right, I'm very mixed feelings about this. Maybe I should be an indie artist myself. I've got so many feelings. But like, so okay, so these things are true, right? Mitski's dad is in the CIA. Charlie's parents gave her a loan. Claro, I can never pronounce that correctly. Claro's dad's in Converse or whatever, right? So for the most part, these are things are true. I think Matt Healy from the 1975, you were telling me last night that his parents are in show business themselves.
Yeah, like his mom was like a panelist for like an ITV show. Like they've been in the business for like years, you know. And but the thing is, like they kind of portray themselves. Okay. Like you listen to the music, and I remember listening to the music, and it was just kind of like, oh, like it seems like these like working class boys that like are like addicted to drugs that like, you know, are just going around having fun. It's almost like watching, I don't know, what is a teen movie? What is a British teen movie that came out?
Like Skins?
Yes, it was like Skins. It was like listening to, it was almost like that, in a way. It was like the pop version, or like the sweet version of Skins, almost, you know?
Yeah.
And then you kind of find out who these people are.
But then my question is, why is it relevant? Like, I get it, they're portraying this sort of character, but then also, because we talked about this last night, like, fucking Kelsa Priest, we talked about what we were actually going to talk about before we are talking about it, but so last night I was saying, like, okay, I get it, it's relevant because they're selling this character that isn't necessarily true to who they actually are as people, and that's kind of a thing where people get pissed off, but also, what musician do you know who isn't selling a fucking character?
Yeah.
Like, is it only unacceptable because it's an indie, you know, ostensibly this DIY sort of genre of stuff? Whereas if you look at someone like Lady Gaga sells the character all the fucking time.
Well, I think that's like, okay, I think that's exactly what it is. Like, Lady Gaga is in pop music. Like, you just expect something from pop music that you don't expect from indie music or alternative music or even, like, hip-hop music. Like, when you listen to these people, like, Drake gets discredited all the time because it's like, he's like, oh, started from the bottom, now I'm here. And it's like, no, you started from, like, you know, the middle of the building and you worked your way up to, like, the roof. And, like, you know?
To be fair, but that was a stupid idea.
Like, you
started from the bottom, now you're on Degrassi.
Right, like, that's the thing. I think that's the thing that people are upset about. Like, if these genres are like rooted in people sharing their feelings and it being something niche or them sharing their struggles, then and that's the thing that's making them successful. Once you take the cheap route, which is like, you know, buying your way, ironically, which is just like buying your way into it, you know what I mean? Or like using those connections that you have, it's almost like you're a traitor to the genre in a way. But, like, whether this is relevant or not, and, like, you know, everybody blowing up on Twitter and, like, you know, arguing about it, it's just kind of like, okay, like, it's not really relevant, though, because, you know, some people might feel this way, but it's not going to stop you from listening to the music if you like the music. Like, if you still relate to it, and if you still think it's catchy, like, you're still going to listen to it, you know? Like, I'm not going to turn off, like, Grimes, even though she, like, apparently, I read something where she was like, I want to make climate change fun, and I'm like, well, you know, that's not the point, Grimes. It is not fun. It's not fun. We all burning and dying, not bitch. We all gonna die.
And you're having Elon Musk's baby.
Well, she's, so... yeah, she had this baby, which I don't know how to pronounce that fucking name.
She had that baby. Alfie.
Oh, is that how you pronounce it? Are you serious?
No.
Oh.
No, it's Ash Archangel.
Oh, whatever. I don't. This is another thing where it's like, this is entertaining, but I don't have the energy. Yeah, it's like, okay, like.
No, I literally had to Google how to pronounce it. Why are you? Tells you that the name doesn't work.
Why are you then collaborating on a child with, like, one of, like, the main.
Don't call it collaborating on a child!
Why are you collaborating on a child with a man that is, like, one of the main perpetuants of climate change?
Oh, sorry. Also, he wrecked a small Texas town because he wanted to shoot rockets out of it.
Okay, like, exactly. That's what he's doing right and it's now just kind of like. Pandemic. It's just kind of like, okay, like, you're in this genre with all of these other people, like, you're in a genre where, like, your predecessors are talking, like, meat is murder and all this other stuff. And I'm not saying that, like, everybody in indie music has to be a vegan. Like, that's definitely not it. But I'm not, you know, I think the whole point of indie is, like, genre is,
it's more sort of counterculture, right? It's
yeah,
more
sort of, that's like, definitely what it
do
is.
Do the right thing and all that sort of shit. And what in counterculture, like, sticking it to the man and what's less sticking it to the man than having the man stick it in you? Like,
oh, right!
Get it together. Right.
So, like, yeah, I mean,
unless this is, like, the long game.
But, like, I'm still gonna listen to Oblivion, which is, like, one of two of the only Grimes songs I listen to, but, like, I'm still gonna listen to it. I'm still gonna listen to Mitski. Like, I'm sorry, I don't really care that your dad was in the CIA. Like, I'm still gonna listen to, like, these artists, you know? It's not a big deal. It's just, like, you're just more aware that it's maybe less authentic than you thought it was, or than it was before. And if that's the case, like, if you are really that pressed about it to, like, be on the internet, like, stomping into your keyboard with your thumbs, like, just go fucking listen to The Cure and Depeche Mode and Fiona Apple and Liz Phair and all of these other people, because, like...
Or have a hit and have a nap.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Or that. Or that, you know? I mean, but yeah, like...
Or make your own music. And, because this is the other thing, right? Because me and you both wanted, you know, we love doing comedy. That's part of the reason we're doing this radio show and shit like that.
It's a podcast now.
You don't get anywhere in comedy. Radio show, podcast, whatever it is. Listen, I never got it right. We were on the radio show. Don't switch up on me now. But, like, the truth of the matter is you never get anywhere without knowing somewhere. And because this is, again, this is what I was thinking about, you know, having had that conversation last night where I was like, I suppose it does change the meaning of the music. But then also, it's the reality of the situation is if you want to get somewhere, you need someone to help you get to that place. You can't just keep knocking on doors.
Exactly.
It happens all the time, even from the lowest, like, think about if you want to get a job, the job that I have now in Pizza Hut, I only got it because I'm pals with one of the people. I got it because, one, I'm fantastic at being a waiter, and I'm great. Anyway, the real reason I got it is because one of my pals worked there, and I was like, hey, do you know of any jobs going? I said to a couple of friends, and he was like, oh, we're looking for someone just now, and then I said, okay, great. He put me down as a recommendation, I put him down as the person who recommended me, and then, boom, you know.
That is literally how I got my job as a receptionist at a Thai restaurant. So
exactly.
Yeah,
it's not as if you should be shocked at the fact that people get to the places that they're at because the people have helped them along the way.
Yeah, I mean,
I think I
can understand how, like, people are upset because, like, it's kind of like, okay, like, this seems, like, disingenuous because, you know, the whole point of indie music was for the artist to be connected to the art in, like, almost every way possible. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's not a machine to the point where, you know, Britney Spears could be like a communist manifesto writing genius, and she's making fucking you better work, bitch. You know what I mean? Like, there could be two sides to the same person or two sides to the same coin. Whereas, like, indie and alt music, it seemed like everything was connected, and now it's kind of like, maybe that's not the case. But, like, it's either going to, like, the whole thing with this, I think, just, like, wrapping up is, like, it's either going to make an impact in that, like, people are going to, like, rise up against it and, like, you know, like, maybe we don't care now, but, like, 10 years from now we'll care, where we have, like, an R. Kelly situation on our hands. Or there's going to be, like, no impact at all, like Dr. Luke. Or what does he go by now?
Or Trey Tracks, I believe it is.
I'm not saying that. Yeah.
Don't. It's the worst.
I'm not saying that. Yeah, or him. And so it's like, okay, like, we can give this time and ride it out, but I, like, seriously doubt that anybody's going to be, you know, upset enough to boycott somebody because, you know, their father was the owner of Macy's.
Because then the other thing is, right, is we have to understand that we are operating under a capitalist system, fucking for the better or for the worse, whatever, more often than not for the worst, for us, for the planet, for our mental health, for everything, right? But under that system, you're only going to progress if someone allows you, someone who's above you in that system allows you to progress.
Right.
That's generally how it works, right? I, for one, I'm really fucking happy that Charlie XCX got that loan from my parents at 14 and took them to illegal raves, because now I get to, like, be a power bottom to vroom vroom in the background, which might not have happened otherwise.
Right.
So, you know, is the, and I get what you're saying, is that it's meant to be this connection between the music and the artist, and they've nurtured this art, and they've developed it until such point it was deemed to be commercially viable, or they gained such a cult following that they were like, oh, we can sell this shit, right, great, let's give them a record deal. But at the same time, I don't think it's necessarily, like, does it detract from the art realistically? Because it might be the case that, yeah, their dad was in the CIA, or their dad was in Converse, or whatever the fuck.
I like how you equate Converse with the CIA. It's the same thing.
It is in my mind.
It's all the same thing.
Corporations are spying on us all. what I'm trying to say is basically, like, yes, it might be their dad that got them connections to where they are to this now, or it might be their parents, or whoever the fuck, right? If that person is still writing the music and is still singing the music and is still having total input and say over the sound that they're having, yeah, some of the things they talk about maybe, because like I say, I'm not too familiar with any of these artists, and like the true white man that I am, I'm still giving my opinion.
You know what? Lana Del Rey did it. You can do it too.
Thank you.
Whites, rise up.
I'm not a feminist. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make, it can be made without actually knowing these artists, is if they have a hand in the pot at each step along the way, how is that any less independent? If all they've received is a little boost up that says, you know, your dad says, hey, meet John. John works at record label X. Talk to him. And then, you know, Mitski pops up at record label X and is like, hi, I've got a demo track, you know, for you. Mm-hmm. Have a listen. Okay, great. I'm still going to produce it. I still want to write it. I still want to have that input. How is that any difference? The difference is they now have the funding and the money available to then disseminate that track, that song, that album, that art to a much wider audience. Does that make sense? Am I making sense?
Yeah, no, that totally. Like, I think that's what a lot of the people, or the people that just, like, wanted this conversation to end, were saying, was just, like, these people are still talented. It's just that they have connections. You know what I mean? And so, like, that's fine. Because, I mean, you're not really taking that much away from the genre. It's just, like, you're taking away from the process. If you still feel the feelings that, you know, resonate with, like, a niche group of people or whatever, then, like, that's fine. But, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, listen, don't listen. Nobody really gives a shit.
Yeah, this is all pointless. Fuck it.
Right.
You like what you like, we'll like what we like.
And we'll be gay about it. And on that note.
And on that note, I'm off to go power bomb. No.
Vroom, vroom.
Just before we do wrap up really quickly. Vroom, vroom. Just before we do wrap up, this has been I Saw a Magpie. We're hoping to put out content every Friday or Saturday. We're, even in lockdown, we're busy, busy people. so we're hoping to put out content like on a Friday or a Saturday. It'll be an hour to 2 hours, hour and a half, whatever. Various different topics we're going to be covering. That's pretty much it. Leave us a message if there's something you want us to cover, if there's something you want us to talk about. If you see something that's happening in the discourse online that we haven't been able to see, send it over to us on Twitter or on Facebook. And that's pretty much it, I think.
If you think we're funny, you know, say that. If you don't think we're funny, shut the fuck up about it. Yeah.
Keep our names out your mouth.
Keep our fucking names out your mouth. If you love us, don't talk about us.
If you love us, let us go.
Yes. So
that
yeah.
Was Panic at the Disco, and I think you'll find I nailed that note.
Oh, well, in that case.
My Tom York impression. I think in that case, this has been the first episode of I Saw a Magpie, the re-up, the reckoning, the re-magpieing.
Roman Reloaded.
Roman Roman Holiday.
Roman and Moscow. Yeah.
Oh my god, right. We need to go.
I saw a magpie. My name is Ari. I saw a magpie. And I really hope that I've packed as much as I think I have.
My name's Steven. I saw a magpie, and I really hope that audio editing is not as hard as what visual and imaging editing is, because I nearly had an aneurysm. And we'll be back next week.
Bye!
Are you ready? Bye!